Hello and welcome to the Unusual Stories podcast. This is the 8th episode of our series and we're almost there. Literally the last three books, last but not least, may I say, that I would like to present to you before this year is done. And may I just remind you, because the end of the year is coming up, I would like to invite you to consider all the different things that we've talked about throughout the year and feel free to review the episodes that you found the most useful, because in a way, and this is only symbolical, but we humans like the symbols and we tend to use them at all times. The end of the year, as well as the beginning of a new one, are great moments to try and change certain things and intentionally act the way that we would like to act. And I will also prepare a special episode for the end of the year as a little gift for you and for myself, of course, for myself in the future, and just to remind myself and you, my dear listener, what is important and maybe what is worth thinking about as the next year begins. But for now, let's focus on the books, shall we? This week, I would like to present to you a book about philosophy. And funnily enough, it's one of those books that has been around for quite some time and is nothing like a philosophy book you've read before. I've not read them all, but I've read quite a few and most of them are quite serious and focused around one or the other type of philosophic thought out there. Philosophical style, let's say. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. This is a book by Jostein Gaarder, a Norwegian writer, and it is about a Norwegian teenager called Sophie, and the title of the book is Sophie's World. Sophie's World. So, first of all, maybe you've already read it. Some people had to read it in school. And I feel jealous for you, because I wish I was presented with this book earlier on in life. I only have discovered it 2 years ago and read it thoroughly and enjoyed it even more. And before I jump into that, may I just remind you that philosophy from Greek means love of knowledge, love of wisdom. Sophie is knowledge or wisdom, and philo is to love. So philosophy, love of knowledge, love of wisdom. And of course, you know, I could probably go on for quite some time describing different philosophies here, but I don't feel competent enough to be putting it out for you, not just yet. Instead, I would like to touch on a few points and give you a backstory on how this book became quite a big part of my understanding of the reality of my life over the past 2 years. And also give you a glimpse to what my Polish experience of the early 2000s was to be brought up and growing up in schools in Poland with the Catholic Church being the main philosophy leader, if I may say. So, just pay in mind, this is completely opinionated and fully my experience, and I bet that this experience may vary from other people, and I do not want you to feel in any way either attacked or judged upon by your own conviction or based on your own convictions. I don't mind. What is yours is yours. It's fine. I'm gonna share with you my story, my experiences of growing up and my experience of dealing with philosophy and ethics and religion at the very early stage of my life. And I will reflect upon it. How did this book influence it all in the end? Little background story. I grew up in Warsaw in Poland. And for the most part, I was educated through religion, not philosophy. So there was an option in our school, both in primary school and secondary school, to choose ethics instead of religious studies, which would mean that I would probably be able to expose myself to a wider range of ideas from philosophy, spirituality, religion studies. But due to the choices of my parents and due to the pressure of the group, because quite frankly, I think in our class of 24 or 30 people, only 3 or 4 actually attended the ethics class, whereas the overwhelming majority attended religious classes at the time, I did attend only the religion classes. This is not to say the religion classes were not useful. I bet there were quite a few things that I learned from them, but for the most part, I considered them to be quite a propaganda-driven ideology kind of indoctrination. I didn't feel there was much of encouragement to think for yourself in that, and I would like to dive deeper here into it. So what bothers me the most in terms of teaching on that kind of subjects like religion, spirituality, philosophy, anything that is very difficult to empirically measure. We cannot weigh the ounce of faith someone has. We cannot decide whether or not there is God. We cannot decide who's right, whether, you know, Jesus was the one, whether Prophet Muhammad was the one, whether Krishna was the one. All of those things are based on opinions and beliefs, and that is the root of it all, really. It's faith. And faith is something that, by its definition, cannot be proven. You do not believe if you know that it is for real. If you can check that the water boils at 100 degrees Celsius, whether or not you believe it, it doesn't matter. Well, that's a fact. That's how it is. But because we cannot measure the range of God, for example, or the influence God has on us, it is easy to either completely dispose of the idea or argue it on the basis of the faith, mixing it up with fact. And I don't want to do so. Quite frankly, I do believe in the universe and in something greater than us. I do believe in God, whatever you may call it. But this is something that I choose for myself, and not because of knowing, but because of drawing some conclusions from what I feel. And I would like to dive deeper into it now as I try to unpack what was bothering me about the education I was being sold at the very early stage of my life. So I went through a full pack of Catholicism in Poland. I was Christianed when I was baby. I had a communion when I was 9. That was nice because good presents come on the communion time. Everyone knows that. And then I was confirmed. I had a confirmation when I was 16. And that was actually something that I had to choose to do voluntary because I was at that point old enough. But I did it more out of the respect to the tradition than the belief in that particular ritual to be of any value to me. And the one thing that I struggle to think about or to accept when I talk with people who, first of all, reach out to religion and straight away tell me how it is that in many cases, what I felt, at least from my experience, of course, we were given a lot of answers to questions that cannot really be answered. And this is something that really, really involves a lot of mixed feelings in me. You know, being told that this is something I should believe in, but not being encouraged or allowed even to exercise my ability to think about such an idea. I was told that this is how it is. I was not encouraged to consider how it would be, so it is as it is. And I think this is where the philosophy and the study of philosophy comes in so handy. And that's something that I really fell in love with, and I've been pursuing it since. And you can see it from my podcasts. I hope that I'm conveying a message of pondering the idea for yourself rather than taking the idea from me and considering it a given. I don't want you to take anything for granted just because someone said so, especially myself. So in philosophy, the asking of questions is usually the goal in itself. Socrates was a big person in terms of propagating that over the millennia, when the Socratic method of discourse involved mostly, if not all, asking questions, not providing the answers. Understanding that if you ask the right questions, the answer may appear, but if you try to provide the answer, you're probably missing the point. And this is an important part that I will try to convey to you the way that I feel it, but it also, as I mentioned earlier, involves expressing in words something that in a way cannot be expressed. And I think this is the catch-22 that we are experiencing as a living being in the universe while being a part of it. This is why we cannot comprehend God. So the way that I understand it, I cannot prove that God exists, and I cannot comprehend to intelligently, intellectually, empirically prove you that God exists, because if God exists, it is beyond my comprehension of the world. We are confined to our form, our minds are confined to themselves, and the same way that you cannot bite your own teeth, you cannot see your own self unless you have a mirror, but that's already an illusion. You're already looking into the reflection of yourself. What you see in the mirror is not exactly how you are if you were to look at yourself by turning inwards in a way. The same way, you cannot comprehend with the mind that was created in this universe the mind's creation itself. Think of it this way. Does a fish in a fishbowl know what a fishbowl is? We are able to measure the time, the space. We have created a regular idea of the world around us out of the chaos that is there, and this is something that Jordan Peterson pointed out to us in The Maps of Meaning. But in itself, we cannot step outside the universe to look at it, so we don't know, and inherently we never will. And that's where the faith comes in. That's where we cross the line from what we can know to what we cannot know, yet can enhance and improve and beautify our life by engaging with it. I hope that I'm making myself clear. I know that this is quite a complex idea to comprehend, and I don't think it's something that you can comprehend unless you do it yourself. So a big part of me engaging with the book Sophie's World was to first of all catch up on the ideas that the philosophy have been giving us for the millennia, and I missed out on that because when I was younger I was only taught one certain way of thinking, and it was already provided with the answers for the questions. I did not really feel the answers can be provided, but it also allowed me to open my mind to questions that I did not dare or think about questioning. And the whole story of Sophie starts by her receiving a letter or a message with a question: who are you? And I ask you right now, who are you? If you were to think what you are, you would probably come up with a lot of labels that you've given to yourself. You know, for example, myself, I'm Wojtek. My name is Wojtek. I was given this name by my parents, and I, in a way, feel emotionally attached to this name. But is this name me? Not necessarily. I could be named Bob, and then I would feel attached to Bob, but my essential being still would not be Bob. Same with the body. I'm Wojtek that has a body. I have a certain feature of the body, certain height, certain spatial expression, certain way of moving the body, certain way of interacting through this body with the bodies and space around me. But the body itself, as we called it, is not it. It's like pointing at the moon. But when you're pointing at the moon with your finger saying, that's the moon, you don't mean that the moon is your finger pointing at the moon. And neither does the moon really represent the word the moon unless you choose it to be so. So in a way, whatever the moon is or isn't, it's irrelevant to what you call it. And I think this is where we entangle ourselves in whatever discourses we engage with. And that's why questions are so powerful, whereas answers can be undermined in so many ways. So When it comes to philosophy, what I've appreciated the most is this open-mindedness state that engaging with different ideas and philosophies can enhance in us. And I think it's the same with religion. I believe that many religions and spiritual paths are actually encouragements to do and explore the ideas yourself instead of taking someone else's answer for granted. The problem is where someone else starts to propagate in us their idea without allowing us to comprehend it ourselves. And I guess this is where the whole catch-22 comes in. And that's why so many of us are either struggling to believe anything at all, even though we're always believing something, even if you don't believe in anything, well, you don't believe in anything, so you believe in nothing. And we also struggle to comprehend why other people might believe differently. Because ultimately, it's one of those things that you cannot prove. And it's beautiful, and it can give you a lot of option to entertain your mind and to make yourself better as a person, but it can also be an area that will trouble you and deeply cause you a lot of stress. And I've been through that, especially at that young age. I felt like I did not understand and resonate with what I was being told, yet I was so intensely indoctrinated to believe it so, that I just fought back more ferociously. For a long time after finishing my confirmation, I completely cut myself off from the church. And to an extent, I still am cut off. I don't go there to get the answers. Instead, I turned to certain books, both from Catholicism and others, and I've been exploring those ideas for myself. And in the same way, philosophy has allowed me, and this is where the book Sophie's World can be really useful, allowed me to explore many different ideas coined with by great minds of this world throughout the millennia and approach those difficult questions we're all asking ourselves by myself, which is also empowering, and it's definitely quite entertaining. The only thing is, it can be quite scary and sometimes overwhelming, which makes people shut the noise and try not to engage with a conversation as such. But since you're listening, you're one of those that at least wants to hear what my perspective is, and hopefully I'm able to encourage you to consider what your perspective is, because you're here. So when it comes to the biggest takeaways I've taken from Sophie's World, I think the three parts are as follows. It gives you a great introduction and overlook for philosophies of the past. And it goes way back and then ties it all together in quite novel, let's say, spatial expression of philosophy, however you may call it. I will not be telling you more because I want you to explore this book for yourself. Secondly, as I mentioned, and this is going to be your challenge for the week as well, your invitation, it allows us to ponder questions that may have been non-pondered for quite a while. And for some people, I bet they will never be pondered, because those questions can be both overwhelming and very stimulating, depending how you look at it. Thirdly, it was a great space to explore the history of the different cultures through philosophy, because if anything, philosophers of the past gave us this one thing. They allowed us to look back into what happened before, because they kept their writings in order and they kept the schools of thought going. They allowed people to ponder things and pass them on through generations, and that is why we are where we are right now. And I have no doubt that our thinking is propagating the civilization of the future yet further in whatever way we decide to think and propagate it towards. So yeah, you know, this episode might seem a bit different than the others over the last 7 to 8 episodes. I hope that it's going to be stimulating. At the end of the day, I wanted to invite you to Just be open to those ideas and ponder them yourself. Do not take anything for granted from others. Unless you can check it as a fact, it's probably an opinion. And if it is an opinion or an idea, you might as well play with it and make it your own. And that's the beauty of philosophy. For this week, when it comes to the three questions I would like to ask you to consider and ponder, and you know, this is not something you need to share with everyone you meet on the street, not at all. If anything, I would like you to ponder these things, these ideas, because I feel that pondering them can be quite stimulating and useful and inspiring in your life. So the three questions I've chosen are as follows. Who are you? What do you believe? And what are your values? Feel free to answer those questions as you please. There is no right or wrong answer, and that's the beauty of them. In whatever way you choose to explore them, this is gonna be a way of you expressing your own self in your own context of reality you live in. So I would invite you to get more involved with philosophy of your own life, because everyone has one. You might just not call it that, but as we mentioned earlier, words do not really matter. And I would like to invite you to start thinking for yourself more often. And I hope that because you are a part of this podcast and because you are exploring those subjects afterwards, you are one of the people that is seeking some more eye-opening and mind-opening, mind-bending, mind-boggling expressions of life. And I wish you just that. I hope that this is gonna be your next beautiful adventure. Other than that, as always, feel free to check out the episodes from before. If you have any questions, reach out to me. Don't be a stranger. I'm very grateful that you're still here with me. And I wish you a great week. Stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll see you next time.